After I catch up with Chu and Keem, we all run and do not look back. We see an old remnant of a cement wall. It sticks out of the ground, 3 feet tall by 4 feet wide. We crouch behind it. Chu covers her ears with her hands and squeezes her eyes shut. Keem is white, leaning against the wall for support. We stay there for what seems like hours, until all is quiet again. No longer deafened by the bombs, I finally notice something circling and buzzing over my head. Then I feel like many tiny pins are pricking my skin. Hornets! I scream. We get up to see that we have disturbed a hornet's nest. Big red welts cover our arms and legs. We were so scared we did not feel the pain when we got stung. When we believe it is safe, we leave to find our foster family. Finally, we spot them near the Yuan camp.
You all stay here with the women and children, the father tells us. Stay here until we come back for you. The men must clean the village of its dead bodies,
he says before he goes off to the village that afternoon. He tells us that the Yuans have retaken our village from the Khmer Rouge a few hours ago.
It is worse than anyone could have imagined,
the father says to the mother after returning from his village.
One couple was hiding in their dugout bomb shelter, which is only a hole in the ground. The soldiers threw a grenade in it, killing them both. We also found many of the victims' heads, hanging by the hair in front of their door or tossed about on the streets. The Khmer Rouge soldiers surely feel these people betrayed them by staying with the Yuans.
Stories about victims of the Khmer Rouge attack spread like fire. There were stories about a baby thrown in the air and speared with a bayonet, the body of one mutilated man lying naked on top of another, a man's torso found in front of his house, and the bottom half on someone else's front door. There are bodies of men found with their chests cut open and their livers missing. The Khmer Rouge soldiers believe that eating the livers of their enemy will give them strength and power. These images of the massacre play themselves over and over in my head as I take tentative steps back toward the village that evening. I do not doubt the truth of the stories. I know Pol Pot's men are capable of this. I walk behind the father and his family. Chu and Keem trudge ahead of me, their eyes focusing on the ground. There are smoldering remains of bonfires giving off the stench of burnt human flesh all through the village. Trails and puddles of blood stain the steps and posts of the huts. My eyes are on the ground wherever I go, steering clear of anything that looks like a grenade. I'm also afraid of stepping on a landmine, which the villagers say Khmer Rouge soldiers plant after an attack, maiming and killing people long after they have fled.